You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the ESO Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to the ESO post-Dragon Con report. The con has long been over, but the effects will last a lifetime.
Oh, my aching body. Oh.
Yes. We have got some survivors with us tonight for a roundtable discussion of our adventures over the Labor Day weekend. I'm your host, Mike Gordon, and of course, you also heard there the director, Mike Faber.
Hi, everybody. Oh, God, my head hurts still.
Wow. Yes. Just still getting over those buckets, huh?
Oh, you know, when you told me to stop at 32, I always thought you were joking. But wow, man, it was a great con. It was an amazing con. Oh, boy.
Very, very much so. And yes, we'll be hearing all about it, of course. And joining us also is the award-winning author, Bobby Nash.
Hello, hello.
How are your recovery?
Not bad. Oddly enough, yeah, better knock wood as I say this, but I didn't get con crud this year, so that's always a plus.
Yeah, when is the gestation period? Like, when can we say, okay, if I didn't get it now, I'm safe?
I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Usually, I just usually think a few days. If I'm okay, like within a week after the show, I'm usually assume I'm good.
Yeah, that sounds fair, and it's been that long now, so I think you're safe.
At least until
the next con.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We also have with us the lovely and talented Mary Lou Who.
Hello.
Howdy. So, how many costumes did you end up debuting?
Oh my! Well, you know, I never actually did a count in the end, but it must have been around 10 somewhere. Not 10 new ones, but 10 costumes in general.
Right.
It was productive.
And have you already started prepping the ones for next year?
I'm actually not thinking ahead that far yet. I find that my tastes change a lot over the course of the year, and so anything that I plan now, I probably won't still be as excited about a year from now.
Right.
So, I don't know, maybe I'm just fickle, but I'll start in on that here the next couple of months, I expect.
Well, a lot of times it is. I mean, you do have to be careful when you, I guess, like any other project, when you're like, because you have to gauge your interest. It's like, well, I have to put all this work, time, and money into it. So by the time I actually debut it, I better hope I'm not sick of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's true. Or at least that'll happen to me. But I don't know. I try to give it a little bit of time. And what I'm excited about in you know, January, March will probably be what I'll start working on.
I think I had 2 Mary Lou Who sightings over the course of the week.
Yeah. I saw most everyone I wanted to see, but not very long.
That's the way you got to work it, right?
Oh, exactly. Truly. Well, even when you popped in for the recording, you were there for what, 15, 20 minutes? And then you said, I've got another engagement. Bye. Thanks for having me, guys.
I know. I'm so sorry about that. Just the way my evening was going, it was like, I want to fit everything in, but I can't stay anywhere very long.
No,
it's tough. It's one of the things that we've always talked about. I mean, there's a lot to do at Dragon Con.
This is the first year at Dragon Con that I did not get to go see anybody, any of the celebrities or anything, or any of the panels. It was because I was working so much.
Yeah, that's tough.
But, you know,
it's a different kind of enjoyable. So.
Oh, it was enjoyable. I'm not saying it wasn't at all. And we'll get more into that.
Oh, yes. Last but not least, we have with us Nikki Rao Baker. Thanks for joining us again, Nikki. How are you doing?
I'm okay right now. Earlier today, I was still coughing a little bit. So, Bobby, you better look out. I might come over and visit you and, you know, leave some dirty tissues around your house and drink out of all your glasses and not wash them.
I doubt they I don't know. Is there such a thing as Skype crud?
Skype crud. Yeah.
You know, I would not put it past Skype to have that.
Mike, you have it almost every week. What do you mean?
Yeah, really. Is it transferable over Skype?
I hope not. I hope not. I'm doing okay otherwise. I just finally finished unpacking all the stuff from my costumes and got everything put away. But yeah, I just can't shake this round of con crud. But other than that, pretty good and had a really great time.
Yeah, I think I saw you. I was going up the escalator and I yelled, Nikki!
Yes. Yeah, you did. And that's pretty much how it was the rest of the show. I would just see people in passing. And I think I got to see Mary Thursday night at the press meet and greet. Got to talk to her finally for a few minutes. But yeah, I didn't get to spend any time with you guys other than... Oh, hey, I see you across the room. Hello, I've got to go because I've got something else.
Yeah,
but it was a great show this year for me. Super busy like it was for all of us, but so much fun.
Definitely, the fun quotient was definitely there this year. It was an amazing, amazing show. Like I said, it was busy, but it was great. I had a blast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And everything. I think that's why I'm still, you know, ugh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think we all just kind of ran marathons, or at least the equivalent of it. Also, we'll be talking later on to our Dragon Con rookie, Raven, a little later on the show to find out how her first experience at Dragon Con was. I got a hint for anybody who's listened to our show that we did while we were there. I think she had a pretty good time. But first, we have news.
We have news? Really?
We have some news regarding Dragon Con. Before I actually read off some of the news items, I did want to just say thank you to everybody associated from Dragon Con, from the senior staff on down to the volunteers, to the hotel staff, to the people who are working in CVS and all the restaurants and all the attendees, all the track directors and their staff and everything like that. I did not have a single bad experience with anybody that I spoke with or interacted with all weekend. And for that amount of people, that's pretty amazing.
No, agreed. There were so many possibilities for something bad to happen or to have at least one bad experience. And there was none. There really, really wasn't any time to have a bad experience. I know some of our friends, like Scott and Debbie, were just having some issues because Scott is handicapped. And he was just having some issues getting around. But other than that, he said he had a wonderful time.
Right, right. And everything. Right. Yeah, and you know, when you get that many people, there's going to be some issues. I mean, but for the most part, I mean, yes, there were times where it was clogged and it was not fun at that, on those moments, but I, you know, they were not long. Except that time when it rained. That was
Yeah. Well, this was the first time I've been going to, this is my ninth Dragon Con, and it was the first time in 9 years that I've seen it rain at Dragon Con.
Yeah, it rained a couple years ago because I had to walk to the car in it when we were getting ready to leave on Monday.
Yes.
So I was asleep during the rain, so I was completely unaffected by that. I had a lovely nap while it was raining.
Well, it was funny. I was in a pod. It was the Revcast podcast panel, and we were like we stopped in the middle of it, going like what is that? Because we were in the Hilton with those slanted windows, and it was really loud coming down on those.
That's funny. And yeah, it was interesting because I was going across the Sky Bridge to come to the RevCast, and basically it just started pouring, and everyone on the street, all the cosplayers look like mice when you turn the lights on in a room. It's like they all like scattered. It was just amazing to see how quickly they moved in these costumes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very, very cool.
So, yes, and like I said, despite the rain, despite everything, despite the, like I said, I did not run across any bad mojo. So for everybody who was there, that was pretty awesome. Because as the, you know, I just took a look at the press release that they issued shortly after the convention, and The record attendance was more than 57,000 for this year's convention.
Wow.
So
and that, does not include the official word. That doesn't include parade people.
Oh, of course not.
No,
you can almost double that.
I was going to say that's another 50,000 right there.
Oh, at least, because they doubled they actually expanded the route of the parade, and I was hearing estimates of at least 120,000 people.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. It was 120
for the parade. So it's amazing, and it was very civil, and it was all really good. And that's actually when I saw Nikki also, because she was right across from me.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was like, isn't that? And so I had my camera set up and I zoomed in. I was like, oh, it is Mike.
To be that so close together physically, but yet still a world apart.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, it was like I was going across the street to the corner bakery and I was like, oh, hey, Nikki, hi. So it was actually kind of funny. So
did not get a chance to do the parade. Actually, I had a panel then, so.
I love the parade. I tried not to have any panels scheduled during that. It's just, I love seeing all the costumes all at once.
Sure. And it's amazing. It's one of the things that makes Dragon Con so unique.
Exactly. And it's the second largest parade in the state of Georgia. So it's pretty amazing that what they get.
What's the first largest parade?
It's the St. Patrick's Day parade in Savannah, actually.
Oh, okay.
It is the largest.
I'm glad you knew that. Right,
I'm a big fan of the parade, but like, I don't understand why people walk in it. Like,
you walk in it.
It's terrible. Why do we do that to ourselves?
No, because I got a picture of you as Judge Anderson.
It was awesome. Like walking with the judges, I felt like I could beat up anyone that came at me, and it was awesome. But it was also incredibly hot. It was so hot. I thought I was going to pass out. Well, I mean, not really, but like I got really uncomfortable and I got to get up so early and then I had to go to bed early the night before and then I had to put all those clothes on and then I had to walk all the way to where the parade starts and then I had to walk in the parade. It was just like too much.
I'm hearing a violin playing just for you, Mary.
That's why I drive my car. That's why I don't walk in the parade. That's why I just take my car in the parade.
Yeah.
Because I'm just lazy.
Yeah,
and I'm
that's
like,
an
look,
awesome idea.
I have this fantastic car that people will want to see. And I've got air conditioning and I can sit the whole time.
Like, I think I would do it if I was wearing a really cool costume. I'm sure that, it was obviously mostly my fault that I chose such a hot costume, but like being in the parade is a big commitment. And I think a lot of people don't like realize that. And so I have a newfound appreciation for those who walk in the parade and appreciate them from my hotel room next year.
What was that the first time you've done the parade?
I was in the parade 2 years ago, but I did not do it last year. Gotcha. So apparently it had just been long enough for me to forget like how hard it is.
Well, I was going to ask you if it was because it's longer now. So was that a big effect for, that's a lot for a lot of, just adding a half a mile is a lot for a lot of those people.
To be honest, I don't remember the old route well enough to say, but I did talk to a few people who said it seemed significantly longer to them.
Gotcha. But seeing the looks on the kids' faces make it all worthwhile, right?
Well, exactly. The kids of all ages, actually.
It is cool.
but that is probably something, too, if you're going to walk in the parade. Yeah, I guess you have to plan your costumes carefully because you don't want something with – I imagine walking that far if you had heels is probably rougher than if you had more sensible type shoes or –
And something to think about is taking water with you. Like, I don't think any of the judges thought about it, but we had a vehicle with us in our group. And thank God they brought a bunch of coolers full of water, would bring them out during the parade and hand them to us. And that really, I think, kept a lot of us going because I know a couple people were in a lot worse shape than I was.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I totally could see that. But it was a neat experience. And, if you have not been to the Dragon Con parade, folks, it's definitely worth going to. It's becoming bigger and bigger, and it probably will eventually pass the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Yeah, probably.
I would almost guarantee it. And it was neat because they actually had some celebrities actually intertwined with some of the floats and such. And not just the ones who were in the Marshall cars and everything waving to people. There were some people, some celebrities who were in the parade that weren't announced and everything. I know Brit Trek snuck Sylvester McCoy onto their Doctor Who one. It was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Sylvester McCoy. They had the Doctor's TARDIS console. And they had three people dressed up as the Doctor controlling it. I think one was the first, one was actually the seventh, and one was actually, I think, one of the newer Doctors. And then they had Sylvester McCoy standing there taking pictures of them. And it was actually him.
Wow, that's cool. Nice.
And so it was really cool to see. And then, of course, the very well-known fact that Adam Savage was in the crowd dressed as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah. Well, it was known after the fact, yes.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I actually have a picture of him. I didn't even know it was him.
You know what? I do, too. And I didn't know it was him either. After they announced that, I had to go through my photos and look. And I was like, oh, sure enough, it is.
Mm-hmm, exactly. I actually got a picture of him and two other Captain Jacks.
Yeah, he's amazing, isn't he?
Yes. It was good. It was good to do that. And it's just like, Adam, you got me again.
I love that they do that, that they have a good time and try to enjoy the show as much as the rest of us and kind of, you know, sneak in there and see how many people will pick them out of the crowd, which obviously none of us did. But I love that they do that.
Well, it's wonderful because celebrities who aren't even invited come to the show. I've heard some of the people from The Walking Dead who were not scheduled to be there were there, and a couple other people who are filming movies in the Atlanta area were at Dragon Con. And I also know like Gil Gerard every year is now doing his match game with Joe Crow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And everything.
And he doesn't have a booth or anything. He just comes and does that and leaves.
Exactly. It's just amazing. And it's great that they're out there. And who knows? You have people who dress up, celebrities who dress up in costumes so they're not recognized, like Adam Savage. But a lot of them were out there, I know, on Friday and Saturday night in the Marriott.
Yep.
And such. So it's
and that's as we've mentioned before too. That's another thing that is kind of unique to Dragon Con, is where the celebrity guests still hang around at night with everybody else.
They just don't vacate to their rooms or stuff like that.
Yeah, or to whatever different hotel they're staying in. A lot of them generally hang around with everybody else.
Well, I had heard there were a couple Barrowman sightings even.
Yep, and then there's plenty of pictures. I know that a friend of the show, Phantom Troublemaker, went to some of the events that happened, like the dances and the raves and all that, and got pictures of various celebrities that were taking part in those too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's really, really neat to see. And it was a great, great experience.
Couple other items of note real quick. During the closing ceremonies, DragonCon announced a change in convention leadership for next year. Rachel Reeves, the senior director of guests and media, is going to join David Cody as the convention co-chair. Convention co-chairs are responsible for running the day-to-day operations of the convention. Pat Henry is stepping down from that role. He'll continue to be the president of Dragon Con, but he's stepping down from the role of co-chair. So they had a record turnout with their blood drive, with almost 3,000 attendees donating more than 6,000 units of blood. So that's pretty awesome. And in the fundraising efforts, they raised a little over $87,000 for their three official charities.
That is amazing. That is truly amazing.
So good stuff happening all around there. So that's what happened. Those are the official words coming out of this past event. But looking forward to 2012, right. Where am I?
2012.
Wow, Mike, are you going back in the way back machine there?
Yes, I am. All right. Yes.
Yeah, you got caught up talking about Doctor Who, and yeah.
I went back in the TARDIS
from there.
Okay, so all right, That's okay.
Wibbly wobbly timely wibby.
Right. So looking ahead to the 2014 show, of course, membership tickets are still available. They were available at the show for $65, and now they've actually gone up to $75, but that's still quite a bargain for the weekend. So if you are at all interested in getting your passes for next year, I would suggest doing so, because they will probably be about twice that much at the door next year.
I think this year they were, what, $135, $140?
I think so. I think they did get up there.
Yes. And that's not even including scalpers. Yeah, right.
Right. So, yes. So, yes, we can't emphasize that enough. I mean, if you're planning on going, it's worth it. I mean, it's $75. That's quite a bargain for this four-day show. So, and then, of course, the hotels are some already went on sale. And some – anybody got their room for next year already?
Cricket, cricket, cricket.
Well, some of the hotels are already sold out, and but there's still a chance to get some. Mike, I think you have some information on that.
Of course I do, since they haven't announced any new celebrities yet. So it's coming coming soon. But for right now, the Westin and the Sheraton are sold out. Too late, folks. They were pretty much sold out the week after Dragon Con.
The Sheraton doesn't play by everybody else's rules.
No, they do not. The Westin tries to, but they went on sale early, and they are gone. There's no word yet if they're going to release any more blocks right around the time the Marriott and the Hyatt are going to. But because that's going to be in October, and I'll get to that in a sec. Also, the Hilton is already sold out. Dragon Con website says it is not, but when you try to click through the Passkey site, the rooms are all gone, even for single night stays, and that's including double rooms or king size. So pretty much if you're trying to stay at the Hilton, you're out of luck. The Marriott goes on sale on October 9th. The Passkey site is posted on the Dragon Con website, but it's not active yet. It's also giving 2013 dates and won't allow booking. We checked just recently, and we, you know, tried to go through, and still nothing. So you have till the 9th. So I think that is probably about 2 weeks from this recording date. The Hyatt goes on sale the week after, on October 16th. Just like with the Marriott, the Passkey site is listed on the Dragon Con website, but also just like with the Marriott, still listing 2013 dates, and it's still not allowing booking either. So just be careful with that, and, you know, be patient, and they are going to go quick. I think it sold out, the Marriott sold out in 20 minutes last year, if that. So, and I know it goes on sale at 10 a.m. on the 9th. So be ready with your credit card and just be patient and hit reload all the time. The system's going to crash. Just plan on it. Not to be negative nilly or anything, but it's just, it's the way of the beast right now.
And also, at least the way that the Hilton day went, occasionally in that first hour or so, people overbook and then they end up canceling and everything, and they release
extra rooms.
Through the course of the day. So don't give up. Keep on checking.
There was a rumor going around, I think Mike and I were talking about that the other day, that somebody actually last year had reserved 36 rooms at the Marriott.
And yeah, the day they went up, they just
called and booked them. And then I think he let like 32 of them go. And so those were open to the general public. It was just like, wow. So you just keep on trying. It's not going to hurt. With the overflow hotels, the Dragon Con website has not been updated to show which hotels will be official overflow hotels yet for 2014. The list usually doesn't change much, but we do see a few hotels added or dropped each year. Especially the Hyatt Place is not going to be an official hotel as of yet. If you want to book now, any previous overflow hotels owned by Marriott or Hyatt, about 70% of the overflow hotels are not accepting bookings past August 31st, 2014. Look for those to open up, or just about the on-sale dates for the other host hotels. Usually try about October 1st, because it's usually like a 10-month period, I think it is, or 11-month that they do that. So just, you know, keep on checking back, because some people just don't like staying at the host hotels. It's too crowded. It's noisy. You know, you have to wait for elevators. You have all that kind of stuff. You don't have that a lot with a lot of the offsite hotels. But the problem is you have to get to them, especially late at night. So that's always, always fun. Let's see. If you want to book now, read that already. However, most hotels owned by the Starwood Group, Sheraton and Westin, including the W or the Hilton, are now accepting bookings for 2014, but not at the con rate. That's another thing you have to check out. So check out, always read the fine print. Different hotels are doing, some of them are doing that you have to put a one-night deposit down at time of booking. So make sure you have enough available credit on your credit cards, or if you're using a debit card, have enough money in there when you're booking it, because if it's declined for any reason, your reservation's gone.
And someone else is going to grab it.
Exactly. Real quick. So just be careful with that, folks. That happened to quite a few people. They were all confident that they had booked their hotel and everything, and it came April, May, and they went to check their confirmation and they didn't have a reservation because they didn't have enough money on their credit card.
And also, not only check to make sure you have enough money, but check to make sure that your credit card doesn't expire at the time that they're going to send that charge through.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Yeah.
That's a very, very good point. Most hotels, you know, once the deposit, you know, some of the hotels, though, also do the deposit, you know, they don't take it at time of booking, but they'll do the deposit in June or July. And so don't think, oh, I don't have to worry about it. I have to pay when I check in. And then come June and July when you're on vacation somewhere and your credit card is $250 less or such, you know, because the deposit hit, you know, that's another thing to be aware of. So, you know, they have – every hotel is different. I stayed at the Marriott this last year and they took out the deposit right away as soon as I booked it. So just, you know, keep track of that, folks. And that is your hotel information.
Awesome. Awesome. Anybody stay at one of the host hotels or that weekend?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got very lucky because I didn't stay down at the con Thursday night. I went down first thing Friday morning and then Judy joined me. But we didn't end up checking into the hotel until almost like 11 o'clock at night on Friday. And I guess the woman at the front desk actually felt sorry for me. And she gave us.
You get that a lot, do you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But she ended up giving us a suite at nice. The regular price. And it was just like, wow. So it was pretty amazing.
And then Mike goes, Judy, here's a surprise for you. I got a suite.
Exactly. I got us a suite, dear. And she was like, yes. And it was just the two of us in it. So it was awesome.
Very nice.
Instead of yeah, like some of the rooms that were 12 of people in it and such.
Yeah. I stayed at the Marriott and I absolutely loved it. Didn't really have any, had no real problems with the elevators. I think the longest I waited was maybe 10 minutes for an elevator, which, you know, after years of dealing with the Hyatt elevator, 10 minutes is nothing.
I also stayed at the Marriott, and I was on the 23rd floor.
Hey, so are we.
Oh. So what I did when I couldn't get an elevator was I would take the elevator up to the 30th floor and walk down 7 flights of stairs. So walking down isn't as bad as walking up. But, yeah, same thing. I really didn't have too much trouble. I'm waiting on the elevator except for, you know, the obvious times, Saturday night, when we were going from one event to the other and had to go do a costume change. But yeah, and the people at the Marriott are great. They're so nice, so helpful. And we just really enjoy staying there, and I'm going to try to book again. I've taken the day off, so I can, because of the work that I do, I never know what days I'm going to have off. So I made sure that I had that day off so I can be at the ready to call the hotel October 9th. But yeah, Marriott's always been a good hotel for us.
That's awesome.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
No, I was
taking the day off to get the room.
That's we were up on the 33rd floor. And the only problem we had was one of the elevators was broken all weekend on that. And so we only had three working elevators going up and down. So we maybe waited 10 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
And the thing you had to learn, if there's an elevator going up or down, you just grab it.
You get on it.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter where it's going. If it's going sideways, you get on it. Exactly. If there's space, get on it.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of the Marriott elevators, too, because each block of elevators only hits a certain number of floors. Even if it's going, even if you have to go up, you're not going to go up more than 10 floors before you go down.
Yeah, the only place, the worst place to try to get an elevator is the very bottom floor.
Yes,
because it's not. I mean, on any other time you can catch one going up or down, but on the bottom floor they're only going up, and everybody gets on them before to ride them down and then go back up. So very few people get off. And that's the only time where it was congested enough that it was like, hey, this is not fun. But waiting for an elevator, that is. But other than that, once we moved up to a floor, two floors up, we got one within like 5 minutes. It was great.
And I want to kind of second what Nikki said, too, about the Marriott staff. Of all the hotels, I think the Marriott staff, to me, is they seem to enjoy the convention the most. You know, even because they have people at the tops and the bottoms of the escalators to keep traffic moving. But every time I go by one of those people, they're happy. They're talking to people. They're not angry about move along and all this. It just seems like it's a lot more laid back feeling with them in the Marriott than with the other hotels.
Yeah. Even the bellhops, do they call them bellhops still? I don't know. The guys that help you with your luggage, they will engage in conversation with you. Whereas other places that I've stayed, they almost seem like they're irritated that you have so much stuff. They're like, you're only here for 3 days, right? And you've got 57 bags. What's wrong with you? But these guys, they'll ask you, where are you from? And how many times have you been to the show, and what are you looking forward to? Things like that. And I feel like the Marriott really preps their staff well to know how to engage with the guests and make it to where it's a good relationship both ways.
Yeah. Well, there's one gentleman, I don't know his name, but he's been there for like years, and he's always standing at the top of the escalators in the lobby of the Marriott, a bald gentleman, and he's always there every year. And so you get to kind of know him just from sight. And I actually, stopped and talked to him last year. And he was just like, are you kidding? We absolutely love this convention, because of all the conventions we do here, this is the most fun for us, because you guys don't cause problems. So the with us being there, because the people there for DragonCon are generally there enjoying themselves. It's not all people there working. It's people there just having a good time. It seems like that, we make their lives, we make it a little easier on them as compared to like a software convention or something.
One of them lawyer conventions.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody there is pretty laid back, like you said, and there to have a good time. Some more than others.
How was your hotel stay, Mary?
Ours was really great. We were in the Hyatt this year. We try to stay there every year. I really like being off of one of the little side towers. We had some problems with like booking and checking in. I called and made the reservation personally under a friend's name, because I don't, have money. And so she let me use her information since I had time that day to do it. So I made all the reservations. We got two rooms, and I won't tell the whole story because it's long and convoluted. But when my friend Joseph went to check in, because he got there early, and he calls me and he's like, they said that the only thing, and I specifically reserved two double beds with a refrigerator. And then the other room we had was a king, without a refrigerator. And we got there and he's like, all they had was one double in the other tower. So that's what they gave us. And I was like, excuse me, there's going to be five people in this room. We're not going to fit in a room with one double bed. That is unacceptable. So eventually, you know, after panicking and calling the national line, because that's what I originally called, I called them and they were like, oh, well, I see all your requests on your reservation right here. I don't know why they didn't do it for you. So I got there, finally, was able to take care of it, and got everything. You know, I was like, we had some problems checking in. I just hope we could work something out. And the girl at the desk was really nice, super helpful. She was like, yeah, I see it right here on the comments. I don't know why they didn't do it for you. Well, let me get you all set up, and got us the last double bedroom in the tower that we wanted. So thanks to my ninja hotel negotiating skills, we ended up with the right room. But they had some problems with their reservation system. But once we got all that straightened out, it was awesome. It was great.
Very good. Very good. And the yeah, because this is actually the first time I've ever stayed at one of the host hotels. So, yeah, and it was very nice for me. And I have to actually thank Nikki for helping make that possible, too, because that was really fantastic. I stayed at the Marriott, and I had heard nightmares about the elevators there, but it wasn't an issue. Of course, I didn't really go to my room back and forth that often. I mean, I went like in the morning, and I think everybody was there. It was, you know, still at a time when people were still, you know, trying to get situated after being, you know, out all night, and then or in all night, and then, you know, at the end of the evening. So it was about, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the morning. So I don't think there was very rarely that I went up during, like, you know, maybe sometime when it's congested around 5 or 6 when people are kind of changing out of costumes and into their nighttime gear or something like that. I don't know, but I did not have a problem with that at all. In fact, it was so fantastic being just literally able to just roll out of bed and, you know, get cleaned up and then go out and be where I needed to be. So it was fantastic. So I definitely recommend that. It may not have to be the Marriott, but I definitely recommend staying at one of the host hotels. And I've talked to a lot of people that stayed at, you know, the Westin or the Sheraton, and there's really great stories all across the board.
Oh, very much so. But also, you know, because Judy and I were talking about which hotel to get for next year. And one of the things we had talked about is a lot of times she doesn't like going to all the same things I do. She goes to her own kind of panels and goes to see her own celebrities and such. But then there's also times she wants to go upstairs and just lay in the room or something. She said it would be harder for her being, you know, by herself, you know, if it's getting dark out or something, going to the Sheraton or the Westin.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Well, it's yeah, a good thing.
It's just too far, dude. I don't want to walk all the way over there.
Well, it's also a good thing too if you're when you're looking at what hotel you want. Look at how, and I know tracks change from year to year, but for the most part, things end up being in the same place. So if you spent this year at the show, if you spent 90% of your time at the Westin's probably the best place for you to get your room. You know, think about that. You know, think about what you're there to see. You know, if you're there for the celebrities and the Walk of Fame, and you're going to spend all day and all night at the Walk of Fame, well, you know, that's in the Marriott, so that might be where you want to try to get your room.
Yeah, that's a good point. But even though I was, you know, my head, you know, the table in Artist Alley, which is in the Hyatt, staying at the Marriott, I still had enough panels that were at the Marriott. It was the nice, it's the nice central location of the Marriott is.
Yeah, yes. But hearing you gripe when you got to the over to the Hilton in the rain.
Well, that's because I had to go through 3 hotels in a clogged up situation. I mean, that was very rare. So what I will, and I will say this, and yeah, we're almost done talking about the hotel situation, but, cause this kind of gets off that, but, you know, I kind of thought, okay, you know, there's thousands of people here. They're going to be in my way from going from panel to my, you know, tables to panel, that kind of thing. So I better allow at least, you know, 45 minutes to get to where I need to be so I can get there on time so I don't miss any of my panels. And I got to my panels each and every time early. There wasn't even the time when, I had the then it rained and there was a clog up and all that kind of stuff. I still arrived early for the panels. So, yeah, I was not hindered at all much. And that I really appreciated. So I thought that the traffic was flowing pretty good throughout. I mean, even though the times that I did have to wait a little while, it really wasn't that big a deal.
Now, the major clog, though, was during the bad weather, and then also that one connection right in the Marriott where the blood drive is, where they have the tea, basically.
Yeah, it's coming, that was horrible.
Yeah. Coming from Peachtree Center and also coming from the Hyatt.
Yeah, that's the worst place in the whole convention.
Well, yeah, because you've got those two Habit Trails and the Marriott lobby all intersecting in one spot.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah. At one point, I was expecting to go in there and into that area and see that, you know, a hell mouth had opened up and was sucking people in, and that's why we couldn't get through. I mean, it was absurd.
Yeah, they need to put some ropes up or something, some sort of traffic thing, I think, there, because it's too congested. It's just too congested because you've got too many places, too many modes of traffic, like meeting at the same intersection.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, I mean, the escalators, they seem to have got down pat as far as no clogging there. But that junction was horrible. So, well, on that note, we are, yes, done talking about the hotels. And most of the information. Anybody have any more tips for going into next year so soon? Like, I'm getting ready now?
Get your fingers ready to do the mice for her, trying to keep on going in and getting those reservations.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
And you can also call, too. I know last year it was just a fluke that I called 5 or 10 minutes before they went on sale, and I actually was able to get through. And by the time they picked up, the rooms were officially on sale. So that's how come I ended up with a couple of extra rooms this year. So be on the phone, be on the laptop, be on the desktop, get your friends, get your neighbors. Try to get as many methods of reaching the hotel as you can.
That's awesome.
Very good. Very good. You're going to edit that out, right, Mike?
Of course.
Oh, you don't want to give the secrets away?
No.
There's a difference between tips and revealing secrets. Just kidding.
No room for you, mister.
Well, awesome. Well, let's start talking about, some of the highlights that we experienced from this year. Anything that was exceptionally different or just exceptional? I think we'll start with the person that I probably saw the least of, which was Nikki.
This year I only went to 3 panels and, well, 2.5. How do I go to 2.5 panels, you say to yourself? Well, let me explain. The first panel I went to was the Defiance panel on Friday, and that was fantastic. I don't know if you guys watch Defiance, but it's the show that's based on the video game. And it just concluded its first season this summer. And I was surprised and pleased at how many people showed up to see the panelists and how many people were cosplaying. So it was really great to see people in these beautiful costumes from the show. And so that was one of the high points for me, was seeing such a great following for such a new show, a baby show, essentially. And it was a great panel. They were hysterical. It was Grant Bowler and Jamie, I can't remember her last name.
Oh, Jamie Murray.
Jamie Murray, thank you. Yeah, so Jamie Murray and Grant Bowler, and it was moderated by Aaron Sagers. And great moderation, great guests, really fantastic panel. So that was a really good way to start the show for me. Go to the next panel, which was the Walking Dead panel that I had wanted to attend on, I think that was on Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon. I can't remember. They all kind of start to blur together after a while. This was my low point for the show. We got there early. I always like to get there early so I can get a good spot in line. And, so I don't have to worry about sitting all the way at the back where the people are teeny weeny. So I got there with plenty of time. I had fantastic seats, third row, center, beautiful seats. So they say, all right, you know, in a few minutes, the guests are going to come out. Everybody excited. Everybody's like, ooh, yeah, great. Yeah, it's fantastic. Great show so far. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20, half hour goes by. Still no guests. And at this point, we're being told they are in transit. They're stuck. They're in transit. 45 minutes goes by. And I finally had to get up and leave because I was like, I'm not going to sit here to not see the guests that I came to see and miss something else. So that was a low point for me. I was a little frustrated that they would schedule guests so, or schedule a panel so close to the guest's arrival. You know, if they're in transit, obviously they're not walking from the hotel. I understand that we did just discuss that it can get kind of tough to walk from place to place, but this was just over a block away. It doesn't take 45 minutes to walk a block. So that was the low point for me, was the frustration of sitting there having really awesome seats and then not being able to see the people that I had come to see. And that they, you know, like I said, that they scheduled the panel so close to the guest's arrival. So that's my suggestion for Dragon Con for next year. Give a little bit more buffer time. We know traffic is horrible in Atlanta. There's construction everywhere. You know, there are multiple events going on the weekend of Dragon Con. If the weather's bad, if there's, you know, a pigeon that's walking across 75 and people are swerving to miss it and there's a pile up, just give a little bit more buffer time in the future for that sort of stuff. But the big thing and the reason that I didn't get to go to the recording on Sunday evening was I had the pleasure of having dinner and drinks with three of the actors from The Hobbit.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that was really, really amazing and just the perfect topper to my weekend. It was Graham McTavish, William Kircher, and Sylvester McCoy. So that was pretty amazing to be able to hang out with those guys on Sunday evening. So all in all, a really good show, a lot of fun. The 2.5 panels that I saw were good. Now, I will say the moderator who was desperately trying to keep the Walking Dead panel afloat did a really good job. He was very entertaining and he told some great stories and some great jokes. But overall, I had a really good time at the show.
Awesome. Awesome. That's good to hear. Yeah, I didn't actually get to see any big panels myself, but I kept seeing like lines for like, you know, the huge ones. I walk by and say, what are you in line for? So I know there are some people who had to wait in line for a little while for some of those panels. So.
Yeah, I went to we always do the Dr. Horrible sing-along because my husband and I dress up for that. He dresses as Captain Hammer and I do one of the groupies. And I even had a custom made shirt this year with his face on it. So we do that and we enjoy it. And we got in line probably 2 hours before they were even letting people in. But you know what, looking back on it now, I don't know that next year I'm going to wait in line for a lot of panels. Because I'm tired of spending most of my time waiting in line. So I don't know how much waiting I'm going to do next year. I may start to go to smaller panels, like the Defiance panel. I got there a half hour before they started letting people in, and I got really great seats. So I think next year I'm going to stick to the smaller panels.
Yeah, I think it does depend on you know who you want to see there and whether or not it's worth it, you know, to wait. If that's your main goal, like to see John Barrowman, then yeah, you're going to have to wait.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen him, but there is no way. You know, I would have liked to have seen him and I would have liked to have seen Shatner, but I, you know, I wasn't going to get in line 6 hours before the panel so sure. I could have the potential to see him. That's just not enjoyable for me. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah, I know. I understand. Mary, now you don't do a lot of panels, right? Or have you Did you do any panels this year?
I don't generally. I did go this year to one of the Warehouse 13 panels, which I have been wanting to do for like 2 years. I always threatened to go, and then I never end up doing it. But I went this year, and that was definitely one of the highlights of the event. Like, it was awesome. I mean, it was just really cool to be in there with other people who cared as much about that show as I do. And, like, that show is freaking fantastic. And just got canceled, and I'm, like, boycotting sci-fi because of it and really upset. And everyone else in there was, like, just as enraged as I was. And, you know, Eddie McClintock, who's the star of the show, brought, like, a gag reel from the newest season. And we made fun of Defiance a little bit because they're basically canceling Warehouse 13 to make room for it. Not that I would say that in front of Nikki, but... It was just like really a fun panel to be at. It was just like, I don't know, like I cried. Like, who cries in a panel?
Oh wow.
Me, apparently.
Now, Mary, I will say I'm a big Warehouse 13 fan as well. And I went to their panels the last 2 years. So my apologies that
but she already switched allegiance, right? She went to the Defiance panel.
Well, I was, so did Jamie Murray.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I was following, one of the actresses. What can I say? My allegiance lies with Jamie Murray, so I had to follow her from one show to the other.
Well, it was so funny. The gag reel that Eddie brought, part of it was just like a thing that the crew had edited together, and they showed the typical like gag reel stuff, and then after that was they'd show some scene from the show that we'd already looked at like 2 seasons ago or whatever, and then it would come up with this huge advertisement for Defiance that took up like 3/4 of the screen, and then it would go away, and then in the next scene it would come back, which is exactly what it's like freaking watching Sci-Fi Channel. They take up half the screen advertising for some other television show. I don't know.
The
so
worst
that was
pretty Haven.
Yeah, Haven's bad too. Yeah.
There's because they've got they have like a big steepled house. And it's like this big steepled house, and the weather vane, it will take up 1/4 of the screen.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not a fan of those.
Yeah,
we got big TVs.
Those just
Well, they just make them bigger. Big TV or not, if it's a lower third is a lower third, it's going to take up the lower third of your screen.
That's true.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm getting all geeky on you.
No, that's so cool. And well, this is the place to do it, right? But that's so cool, Mary, because, yeah, I mean, I'm a big Warehouse 13 fan as well. And it seemed like there was, I think, more Warehouse 13 guests here this year than ever. So this was the year for you to go to a panel.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And, Brent Spiner had been a guest star on that show for most of the most recent season. Yep. And I'm a big fan of his, and I'd never seen him in a panel. So I didn't have anything to do with Star Trek, unfortunately. But, it was still really cool to be able to see him at the same time. So yeah. I have to say that was one of my big highlights. And then hanging out with Bern Gorman from Torchwood at the media party was pretty fun also. Meeting celebrities isn't generally a thing that I care about. But, he was there. He's doing a new show about the American Revolution. And I grew up in Yorktown, Virginia. So it's kind of a big part of my life. So we got to talk about that. And it was just he's a really cool guy. Like, he plays kind of douchey dudes on TV, but he's a really cool guy in real life.
Well, we were lucky enough to get an interview with him as well. And, yeah, he is extremely personable and down to earth and approachable.
Yeah, he was awesome. And he, was like, oh, I'd love to visit Nashville. It's a really cool town, whatever. And it was, I don't know, he was just really fun to talk to.
That's cool. Yeah, because you look at him on Torchwood and you're like, yeah, that I don't want to meet that guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's cool. Well, that was your panel experience.
Those are probably two of my highlights. And then everything did come in for my Judge Anderson costume. So it was really gratifying to get to wear that. But I talked about that a little bit already earlier. I don't know that I necessarily had a low point. I was part of the attempt at the world record for the most people in Star Trek uniforms at the same place at the same time. And unfortunately, we did not break the record. So I guess that was just a little bit of a disappointment. But it was really fun to hang out with all the other Star Trek fans and see everyone's costumes. You know, you could tell there were a lot of people there that hadn't broken those costumes out in a long time. And so it was like a cool thing for them to do that, you know, they just hadn't done. And so while we failed, it was just not a low point. It was a lot of fun, actually.
And no, as I understand it, it also, even though it didn't make the world record, it did set a DragonCon record for costume. So
yes, it did that.
That's pretty impressive. And I heard from the Star Trek track they already announced on Facebook that in 2 years' time they're going to try it again.
And I will be there, and so will all of you.
Whoa, okay. Well, I guess it is our fault because we weren't there this time.
Well, I can help you make costumes.
Awesome.
Cool.
And all the costumes held up very well?
Yeah. I didn't have any big costuming malfunctions, so that was pretty nice.
That's awesome.
I had a lot of problems with shoes this year, which is weird. I wear heels a lot with a lot of my costumes, but they don't generally bother me, so I don't know what was going on with me this year. Maybe I just did more walking than I'm used to.
There's a lot of it, that's for sure. I know I do a lot more walking than I'm used to. Even for DragonCon, I think this year I did. Even though I was at a host hotel, I think I still did more walking this year than ever.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's because I was on a lot of panels, though. So, speaking of being on a lot of panels, the award-winning Bobby Nash, overall, how was your convention experience?
Very achy on my feet.
Now, how many panels did you have in events?
It was a total of 7. Well, I went in with 16, and I ended up doing 2 additional ones once I was there.
Of course.
So it ended up being like a total of 18. Wow. So, yes, I was good and tired by the time it was over. So, although, I will say, I didn't have to worry. Being on the panel, you don't have to worry about the getting there early to get a good seat because you're up on the stage. So that helps.
That is true.
Yeah. The panels were great. I did a lot of great panels on various different tracks. I did things for like 4 or 5 different tracks. So I bounced back and forth quite a bit. You know, definitely a lot of walking. I don't think, except for once or twice, I don't think I had 2 panels back to back in the same hotel.
Did you hit all the hotels?
I never went to the Sheraton.
Oh,
That was the only one I didn't hit, yeah.
That's because you were not on an ESW panel.
That's right, yes, because I was somewhere else when you guys were doing the ESW panel. So, so that's the only hotel I ended up not doing anything in was the Sheraton. So, yes, but it was a phenomenal time. Had some really interesting topics. You know, I did a lot of stuff with the Sci-Fi American track and the American Sci-Fi Media track. So we talked a lot about new and classic TV series, which was a lot of fun, as well as the usual writing tracks, podcasting tracks, and things of that nature. So it was pretty cool. Probably one of the coolest moments was watching the crowd after the G.I. Joe panel. It was probably 100-150 people all singing the G.I. Joe theme. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
And I'm sure that's recorded somewhere.
It actually is, yes. Yes, Joe Crow was recording. He was going to around to all the panels, or most of the panels, on his track and was having theme songs sung for different shows and recording them. And they're pretty funny. Especially when you get to the part where, you know, everybody knows like the opening bits, but you get a little into the theme song and a lot of people start forgetting the words. So it was fun. Had a lot of fun. Spent, you know, I didn't really get to do much that wasn't me working this year. There wasn't a whole lot of going to things just to go and enjoy them. But that's cool. I mean, I had enjoyed everything I was on. I just didn't really get to go really do any of the celebrity panels or any other panels that I was not already on. So, but you know, that's more my thing for agreeing to do all these.
Sure, sure. But even when you're working the show, it's still a good time.
Absolutely. Probably the one panel I regret that I was not able to see, and I'm sure it's recorded and I can see it, you know, listen to it. I did not get to go see the Lee Majors, Lindsay Wagner panel, and I really wanted to do that.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that one also.
Yeah,
I didn't even know when it was, though.
Yeah, I was booked at the same time on another panel, and I just wasn't able to do it.
I should say you must have been.
But but it was fun. I had a good time. You know, ran into a lot of people. I was very surprised by how many people came up knowing me from the podcast. Which was always cool. It's always cool to know that people are listening. Because a lot of times, you know, as we're recording this, I don't think about the fact that there are people out there listening to us talking.
Keep on thinking that way. It's perfect. Yeah.
You know, it's pressure. Not, yeah, it's just something I don't think about when we're recording it. It's just, I mean, if this was just us sitting around a table at a bar or a restaurant somewhere, we'd probably be talking the exact same way. And yeah, and so it's very cool when people are coming up and are recognizing us for the podcast.
You mean we would be sitting around wearing headsets and stuff? That's just possible. Kind of weird.
You know, yeah, anything's possible.
I'd be occasionally breaking up. Yes, it would.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike occasionally just floats off into nowhere. I know Mike and I, we arrived on Thursday, and we were sitting in the food court just having lunch, just, you know, not – we're just sitting there chatting. And we got to talking to the gentleman at the next table, and it was his first time – doing the entire weekend. He had always just come for one day. And so we were talking to him, and in the process of talking to him, a gentleman at the next table over from him recognized Mike and I because he heard us talking, which was like the coolest thing ever.
That was very cool. Before we even got a chance to check in.
Yeah. Yeah. And cause he goes, do you guys do a podcast? And Mike's like, yeah, we're part of the Earth Station. He goes, oh my God, are you Howdy Mike?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really cool.
Best $20 I ever spent. It was perfect.
But it was amazing how busy and crowded it was Thursday.
Yes. Thursday night felt very much like a Friday night. Running around the Marriott at night. Just a lot of people there. People already there in costumes, hanging out. I don't know if they had started the buckets of rum then over at the Hyatt on Thursday, but I mean, the place was packed. And, you know, yeah, I heard the phrase quite a number of times over the weekend that Thursday is the new Friday. That seemed to be a popular sentiment.
No, yeah. Man, Wednesday is the new Thursday.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Wednesday's the new Thursday.
Yeah, and I heard, apparently people started arriving as early as Tuesday.
I am like lobbying my friends to go down on Tuesday next year, but I haven't been able to convince anyone yet.
Well, you know, it might happen because I remember seeing some photos of people on there on Tuesday and Wednesday, and it wasn't as crowded as Thursday, but there were quite a number of people there.
You know, going down on Wednesday was totally worth it. Like, I know it's an extra night stay, but check-in is so easy. If there's something wrong with your reservation, you're more likely to be able to get it fixed because there aren't as many people there. You get some, like, chill rest time, like, to acclimate yourself to the environment and get ready for the week. And just, it was totally worth it. I'd absolutely recommend going down Wednesday and leaving on Tuesday, because checkout is 100 times easier leaving on Tuesday. It's crazy. I just looked down the balcony at all the suckers trying to check out on Monday and hung out in my room. It was awesome. Yep.
And plus, you know, if you know you're going to be busy all weekend, I mean, especially like, you know, I know that, I mean, we're running around the entire weekend. Really, Thursday was the only opportunity I had to sit down and enjoy a meal, or sit down and just talk to people where I wasn't having to constantly check the time and go, oh crap, I'm late, or I've got to be at this hotel by this. You know, Thursday was really my relax and just hang out day.
And also Thursday, we went, you know, walking around to the various hotels to find out where all the panels were going to be, all the tracks were laid out and everything like that. I mean, the YouTube video that Mike did was really helpful in the layout of the hotels. Mm-hmm. But once you get there, you know, finding out where everything is, especially if you're, you know, a panelist and you got to, you know, you're going to, you know, be running around. But even if you're not, even if you just want to, like, just, you know, take that extra time to get there ahead of time so you can scout where everything's going to be, it makes things over the course of the weekend so much easier.
Just so you know what the hotel looks like without all those people there.
Well, there's that, too. It's like, wow. Yeah. So, but because, yeah, I mean, otherwise sometimes you're just wandering around like, I don't know where this is. But, you know, we went to all the hotels and did that on Thursday. But then one hotel that we didn't do that was the Sheraton. And I had a couple events at the Sheraton and I felt completely like out of my element. I'm like, I don't know where to go here. So when I got there, so it took an extra, you know, 10 minutes or so to get acclimated and find out where I needed to go.
Especially this year when so many things changed. So many tracks were in different places.
Yeah. And heck, you know, the Walk of Fame and the Dealer Room were in completely different areas.
Yep.
So definitely, definitely. Mike, how was your show?
There was a show? What? I was just running from panel to panel.
Oh, now. You weren't running as fast as Bobby Nash.
Well, no one does, but yeah. That's why we had Elizabeth Laney going, "Go, Bobby, go. Go, Bobby, go."
Yes, I gotta give her credit. That was pretty funny. I did pass her at one point, and I didn't even notice her there, and she just started shouting it. And I'm like, ah!
No, that was pretty darn awesome. It was an amazing show for me. It was my busiest one as concerned to panels and with the podcast, with interviews, with dealing with, you know, people involved with the podcast and, you know, having meetings and just running around going crazy. But it was an amazing, amazing show. It was neat to see everybody enjoying themselves. It was the energy overall was fantastic. You know, we had a couple burps along the way, but I think everyone who was involved with it really, really enjoyed themselves. And it was, Dragon Con to me is time to see friends I only get to see once or twice a year. And that's what makes it incredible for me, because the experience is amazing. You know, seeing people, you know, or having people come up to you like how Bobby and Mike did. You know, I had people like, "Oh, you're Mike from ESO," you know, or, you know, stuff. People coming, walking into the panel room. "Hey, you can't go in there yet. Oh, I'm the moderator for this one. Oh, you're Mike. Go ahead in," you know, that type of thing. And then coming in and sitting in the front of the room and seeing a room with 800 people completely loaded up to the brim. It was just amazing. And they're there to hear you. It's awe-inspiring. You know, either I'm a panelist or when I moderate, it's great to be involved with it all. And it's fun. And hanging out with you guys was one of the best things in the world. You know, it was great to, you know, after we did the ESW panel on, I think it was Saturday night, we all went over and got buckets of rum and, you know, hung out over in the Hyatt for a while. And it was myself, Judy, Mike, and Jen, I think. And it was great. And I still have that damn Careless Whispers song by that guy, that cosplayer. Oh, he did a great job. He actually was playing the saxophone. He went all the way through the Hyatt. Then he went into the Marriott. And he kept on playing Careless Whispers. The whole,
I guess, circle. I know what our theme music for this episode is going to be.
Oh, I can guarantee
yeah,
it already.
I've got that in my head. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, what do you mean? It's going to be playing the whole background, the whole show.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. But it was great. And, you know, it was, of course, awesome doing the network show. And thank you to Dan Carroll and all the people involved with the media department who actually let us use their room to record that night. It was really, really awesome. And it was great to meet, I think his name's Greg?
Greg, yes.
The PR director for Dragon Con. He sat in with us for that show. And it was really, really nice. And, you know.
It was great to get his perspective, too, as a first-time convention, or the first-time at Dragon Con.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it was neat. You know, Mike was shocked when we had the room packed for the ESW panel.
Oh, yeah. I had gotten there early, and there was a line. And I was just like, I wonder what this line is for. And then I realized it was for our panel. As I got closer and closer to the door, I was like, whoa, this is for us.
Exactly. You know, we had that a few times with different panels. I had that with my Downton Abbey panel, which is we already posted live last week. And it's available on the ESO network. And we also have the Red Dwarf one was amazing. The Sherlock one was mind-blowing. And, of course, the ESW and also ESO was great. And mm-hmm. A lot of the things we did with Joe Crow was awesome. And it was a really, really great experience. And it was just fun. And like we said earlier, one of the best things, though, in between panels, when I had an hour or two, I went upstairs to my room and just laid down for 30 minutes or so.
Try to catch up on that sleep so you had energy, right?
Exactly. Exactly. But it was wonderful just to do that for a little bit and just decompress. I did love the America's Mart. I was worried about it. I wasn't too thrilled with the downstairs part, but the upstairs is amazing. It just went on forever.
I never actually got to go over there and walk around.
Yeah, me either.
I had one panel at the Sheraton, I want to say Saturday afternoon.
You mean the West?
The Westin, sorry. And I said, so I'm going to run through because they're connected by a sky bridge. And just as I got into the America's Mart, they're like, we close in 10 minutes.
And you're like, ah!
And so, well, and I ran into some friends of mine who have a booth there, and I got to talking with them, and the next thing you know, it's closed. And I never was able to get back over there to check out the rest of the room.
It's amazing, because I went back on Monday, and I actually took time. It was myself and Jonathan Thomas from Anglotopia.net were walking around there together, and we were looking at all the different stuff, and it was great. We actually even saw Mark Ballard while we were over there. And of course, Mark was like, oh, it's good. We're doing really well, but there's no flow. You know, there's no, you know, constant, you know, everyone's just everywhere there.
It's not Mark Ballard unless he's griping.
Of course not. You know, we love him to death, but God, you know, it was fun seeing though, you know, how many different kind of vendors. There were hardly any repeats, you know. It used to be, oh, you had one or two corset people. You had one or two weapons people. You had one or two things that deal with toys or games or books. And there were zillions of them over there. I was amazed how big it was over there. They need better signage, like we said that when we did our show over there. But they need better signage because it took me forever the first time I was over there to find the down escalators. To get out of there. I think that was my biggest gripe about it. Downstairs needs to be organized a little bit better, but upstairs, bravo. I think it was really, really well done.
Yeah, not bad for the first time that they've had it there.
No.
Right. Right. I would suspect next year. I mean, you know, they probably have learned a lot from this year, and I'm sure next year it'll be even better.
Exactly. But no, overall, I think it was an amazing Dragon Con, and I'm already counting the days till next year.
Here, here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yeah. As long as they just move a little slower, at least for a little while. Because I'm still trying to get my convention legs, so to speak.
Yes, because you know, Mike, we'll all be a year older next year.
Oh my gosh! Let's not even discuss that.
It's kind of weird how that works.
Yeah. Right.
For me, this is probably one of the most special ones that I've had ever, you know, 20 years I made it, you know, this was my two decades of Dragon Con. And for the first, you know, 15 or so, I went as a fan. So I went and did the panels and did the celebrities and did everything as a fan. And it was my, you know, goal to eventually get on, you know, behind the scenes, on the other side of the table, so to speak. And a few years ago, I was able to do that, and that was amazing. And it's been amazing from that perspective. This year, in addition to that, I also participated a lot more in panels because of the podcast and you know, just because of other things that have happened, that I was able to get more involved with panels. I think I had 8 panels, and I was also a judge at the Pinups by the Pool event, so at the Sheridan, which was fantastic. And all those experiences were great. It's difficult for me to it was difficult for me to juggle everything, because you know, I still want to be a fan, so I still want to go, and I haven't been able to do any panels outside of the ones I was on. So that's one thing that got kind of cut out, which is, you know, because I would have liked to go into the Warehouse 13 panel. I love that show so much, and I would have liked to seen everybody who worked on it like that, and how get a sense of how they are behind the scenes. I was able to do some to get some signage. In fact, one of the persons that I got an autograph from was Lindsay Wagner. So we did talk about Warehouse 13. That was really nice. She was on the panel, was she, Mary? Lindsay Wagner?
No. Oh. I don't believe so. There were a couple different panels. I went to the one on Monday morning, I think.
Gotcha.
It was just, it was Eddie McClintock, Brent Spiner, one of the writers, I don't remember, but it was a man. I don't remember his name. And then the women who played Lena and Mrs. Frederick.
Gotcha. Oh, so Jamie Murray wasn't on that panel either?
No.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, well, I still would have liked to have gone to that panel, because I've never seen Eddie McClintock like interact in person, just behind the scenes stuff that I've seen on videos and everything. So, but going to the Walk of Fame was cool. I stayed the appropriate distance away from Elijah Dushku, so that there was no problems there. Didn't get any, new restraining orders. So that was fantastic. I got some signage, including meeting Lucy Lawless, which has always been, I want to say a dream, but that makes it sound weird. It's always been something I wanted to do. And Lee Majors, who, you know, I grew up watching, Lindsay Wagner as well. So meeting Terry Farrell from Deep Space Nine was a really, really good experience. That was that was a special moment, actually. So
yeah, that was a great experience. You told us in the other podcast.
Yes. And that, you know, that kind of vibe was all throughout this weekend, that weekend. So it was amazing to sort of feel that way, to go through, you know, it is interesting trying to juggle it all. I think one thing that I was worried about, at least the first couple days, because I was at so many panels and whatnot, was that I wasn't at the table at the Artist Alley very much. I did have, you know, someone there watching it for me, but you know, that first day or so, I did hear some people, and I do apologize for this, anybody that came by the table then, you know, were like, oh, we went by the table and you weren't there, et cetera, et cetera. So, but once I got that sort of, out of the way on, Friday and, part of Saturday, most of Sunday and Monday, I spent a great time at because there's all that going on. The whole Dragon Con experience, but then the Artist Alley is a really good comic convention. They've got a lot of people there, a lot of talent there. The room is always full, and you could just really hang out in that. I mean, I could hang out in that room the whole weekend and not get bored, because there's just some really cool stuff happening there. So, it was difficult for me to challenge, to sort of do all that stuff, to juggle it. But I had a lot of fun, and I can't imagine missing out on any of that stuff, because the panels that I were on were really fun. Everything from the podcasting track, which was a great honor to be part of, to being on the sci-fi classics track, and those were some hilarious ones. And all the stuff that we did with ESO was awesome. So good turnouts for all those. So, yeah, I have no complaints whatsoever. It was a great time, especially when I compare it to last year. So, nothing was stolen. So,
that karma was very, very good to you this year.
That was really awesome right there. So, but no, I can't wait again. Yeah, next year, you know, bigger and better, right?
Absolutely.
So, well, very cool. Well, before we get going to the next thing, we did take some time out to talk to Raven, who it was her first time at the show. So we're going to go ahead and talk to her now.
this is very cool seeing how she, because we talked to her before the convention, during it, and now after. I'm very curious to see, you know, if, how the convention held up to her expectations.
And now joining us on the station, we have with us once again Raven, who experienced her first Dragon Con. Of course, as we mentioned, we talked to her before and during the show, and now we're talking to her afterwards. Welcome back to the station, Raven.
Hi, thanks. It's good to be back.
So you've successfully recovered pretty much?
No.
Does anyone really recover from Dragon Con? That's the question.
No.
How was your first Dragon Con? Was it everything that you dreamed of and more?
It really was. I mean, the people were nice. I got to do a lot of stuff, even though I sat in line for panels for I don't know how long, but it was worth it.
That's cool. That's cool. Was there anything that, well, right off the bat, was there anything that you really wanted to do that you didn't get a chance to do?
I didn't get to see the John Barrowman panel or the Jason David Frank panel. That's gotcha. The ones I had hoped to catch, but we didn't make it there in time, so.
Well, you my understanding is you got pretty close to John Barrowman as was anyway.
Yeah, I did.
Do tell.
I had a photo session with him, with the Froggy Photography people, and I went up. I was waiting in line, and I went up, and he's like, all right, so it's just going to be you? I'm like, yeah, I guess. And he's like, all right, well, we're going to cuddle real close. I'm like, okay, you know, no problems. And he put his arms around me, and I hugged him back and everything. And then all of a sudden, his hand kind of went down, and yeah, I grabbed my butt, and I was just like, wow, okay, that's cool.
Hey, you were groped by the best.
Yes, yes, I was, by the man himself.
He does make those. I think he makes everything interesting.
He really does.
From looking at some of the other photos that I've seen that he does in those sessions, and just in general, I mean, he doesn't. He's always a ham. It seems like he doesn't have an off switch.
He really doesn't. When we went in there, we waited, and then they brought him in because they were doing the Torchwood photos with him and the cast of Torchwood. And then they're like, all right, for the John Barrowman individuals, you come on up to this room. And we're like, okay, so we go up there. And they're telling everybody to get in a line. And apparently people don't know how to get in lines, which is kind of sad, considering there was lines duct taped on the floor.
You know, that's rule number two for Dragon Con. They don't know how to get into lines.
After witnessing that, I was like, wow, these people are not smart at all. But we get up there, and then John jumps up on a chair, and he's like, all right, everybody, calm down, calm down. He's like, all right, we can do whatever you want. I'll grab you, grab your crotch, grab your boobs, I'll do whatever.
He just goes right for it, doesn't he?
He did. He was like, I just won't kiss you because I don't want to get sick. And we're like, wow, okay. This is going to be interesting. And it was so funny because all the people before us are like, okay, well, I want you to grab my boobs, or I want you to grab this, or do this, or this. When I went up there, I didn't even say anything, and he just automatically did it. And I'm just like, okay.
Yes, I saw some of the other pictures of him. He was very grabby.
He always is. It's John Barrowman for you.
Right. But it's good fun, right? It's not.
It was. It was loads of fun watching everybody go up and take their turn. I was laughing just standing in line watching them.
Well, that's pretty cool too. When you're in line and it actually is entertaining.
It is. It makes it worth it.
So, was Dragon Con everything you wanted it to be?
It could have been a little more had I not had to wait in so many lines for panels. But. We sat in the, what was it, the Stargate 1 reunion panel with, my mind just went blank. He played MacGyver.
Oh, Richard Dean Anderson?
Yes, Richard Dean Anderson. My fellow canteen member was with me, and he was like, okay, I have to see this. I'm like, okay, no problem. You know, I know you look up to him and everything. That's fine. We waited in the area for about an hour because they weren't lining up yet. And then we waited another hour, and I ended up being used as a pillow during as we're sitting there waiting. And I'm just like, I can't move. My legs are asleep because he's laying on me asleep. But yeah, it was worth it because we had pretty good seats, and it was just really funny listening to Rich and the cast talk about everything on set. They talked about farting on set for a good 20 minutes. And I'm just like, okay, maybe waiting 2 hours in line was worth it just to hear farting stories for 20 minutes.
So with that being said, do you think you'll come back for next year?
Oh, definitely. I've already got my tickets.
Have you now? But the follow up question to that is: have you already got your costume in mind?
It's Raven. Hello, come on.
I'm not saying you have to reveal it.
I'm definitely going to be doing Raven again. I have one in mind. I'm not sure if the budget is going to allow me to do it, so I'm not really going to reveal anything until I know for sure. But I do have another one planned. It's Dark Rukia that I'm doing for MomoCon, but I want to do it for DragonCon as well because it's a pretty simple yet elaborate character from Bleach. So it should be fun.
Now, what do you think was something that was extremely helpful for you going in before this Dragon Con that you said, wow, I'm glad I knew that going in?
I've listened to a lot of stories my friends told me in this. They really told me, you know, don't really expect anything because it's going to blow it out of the water. And I'm like, okay. So I went into it not really expecting much, but hoping it would be awesome. And it definitely was beyond awesome.
That's cool. And as far as going in for next year, is there something that you, a couple of things maybe that occurred to you or didn't occur to you this year that you're like, I have to make sure that next year I do this?
Wear comfortable shoes. The first day I did my Dalek outfit and I had on a pair of boots that have about an inch and a half heel. And all the walking really put a strain on my legs by the end of the day. It wasn't so much the heels because I had insoles in them, but the walking was definitely...
It's just a lot of walking and standing around.
Yeah, especially when you're standing on the ball of your foot most of the time. So it's... Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And you don't realize it, but I mean, you put on miles every day.
Oh,
I know.
Judy had her pedometer that she's using for work and everything. They're doing like a thing because she's HR and they're, you know, trying to get people to exercise. And so she had a pedometer on her the whole time at Dragon Con. She was doing over 25,000 steps a day.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. Yeah, I don't get it. And so it's just amazing how much walking. So, you know, comfortable shoes. What else?
Definitely bringing my water bottle back because that was a lifesaver. Rather than having to spend so much money on bottles of water or having to stop ever so often to grab a cup from the water stations. It was just easier to carry around the water bottle and fill it up when I needed to. Definitely gonna try to get a hotel for next year.
Oh, yeah. One of the host hotels, you mean?
Well, maybe. If I can afford it. I definitely want to be closer because while riding Marta was convenient, I couldn't just like leave the room and just go and come back. I had to get on a train and then travel so many stops, and it was kind of a pain because my fellow podcast member kind of wanted to sleep in one of the days, and I was like, dude, we got to get there, dude. And he just kept sleeping. I'm just like, ah, I want to go, but I can't leave him here because he's riding with me to the MARTA station. And yeah, definitely getting a hotel.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's definitely things that we've talked about before. Because as you found out, I mean, Dragon Con goes on just basically 24 hours a day.
Yeah, it really does.
So, well, very cool. So all in all, thumbs up, right?
Definitely. Two thumbs up.
Awesome. And I want to thank you for joining us this year as we talked about it. It was nice to have that perspective of someone. I mean, because, you know, I mean, certainly I've been doing it for, this was my 20th, so, but I'm still enjoying it almost as much as I did, probably as much as I did my first one, because it's just, I think, a phenomenal event. But I do envy the people who are going for the first time, because it must just seem like, Disney World, like a magical place.
But really, you know, when you think about it, that you have that feeling going into any convention if you're a big geek anyway. I mean, because right now I'm getting ready for AWA this weekend, and I'm still recovering from Dragon Con and working, and I'm, like, exhausted beyond anything. I'm not packed, which I'm normally by this time am packed, but I'm not packed. I don't have the touches on my Raven cosplay that failed me at Dragon Con finished because I've been too exhausted to fix it. So, yeah.
No, I understand that. It's almost, for me, and Dragon Con is pretty much the last big show of the year that I do. So, after doing San Diego, and then, well, I was sick in August, but then after doing Dragon Con, to me, it's like I almost need like a month of the entire rest of the month of September to rest before I do anything.
Exactly.
So, but no, thanks again. And next year, we intend on doing these reports as well, these special episodes to get ready for Dragon Con. So awesome. We'd love to check in with you next year to see how you're gearing up for your second year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, when I got paid, because I didn't have the money at the con, so I was like, all right, when I get paid, I'm getting my ticket for next year. Sure enough, when I got paid, yep, $65, I got my tickets, I'm ready to go.
And it's a smart choice, because what a bargain that is, right? $65
really
for the whole weekend.
Well, it doubles in price by the time of the con.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, you know, I work fast food, so I can't really afford to spend that, but I'm like, you know what? I can. It's easier to afford it now,
yes,
than to do it later. But yeah, I'm supposed to be getting a promotion soon, so.
See,
but it's her. You know, her second year, she's already learning.
See,
yeah.
Well, very cool. Well, thanks again for joining us, Raven, this year, and we'll see you at Dragon Con next year.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Raven. It was good to meet you again at the show, and I'm glad you had a great time. I kind of am envious of you experiencing it for the first time, although even though I've been going for two decades, it still feels new to me every time I go. So it's definitely cool, and we'll look forward to seeing you next year. So now we talked about some of the highlights. Not to get too negative, but if there's any improvements, suggestions, or tips that you have for folks for next year or for the convention itself, we can go ahead and talk about those. Nikki, anything that you that struck you as something that might be improved, or at least some tip that you learned this year that you're like, oh, I better keep this in mind for coming years?
One thing that, and I actually had mentioned this to people in my Keep Calm reports that I was doing. Just remember to take your chargers with you. Because my phone died three different times when I was there. So remember to take your chargers with you. And also, if you are feeling generous, you can offer your charger to the people that are around you. Now, I was fortunate enough to be sitting in line on Saturday evening with somebody who also had an Apple product, and they saw me frowning sadly at my iPhone, looking at the fact that it was down to 9%, and they were kind enough to offer their charger to me. So remember to take your charger with you, and if you see people around you that are looking sad and forlorn because they can't get on Twitter or on Facebook, offer your charger to them.
That's amazing that you were able actually to use your phone. Mine was pretty much a brick for the whole weekend.
You know, my phone is a brick when I'm at home because apparently I'm in a dead zone. But there, it worked beautifully. I was able to get online the whole time I was there. No problems.
Wow.
I am envious because yeah. I was not.
Yeah, a lot of other people were saying the same thing. They're like, you actually have a signal. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I mean, I'm eating my battery because I'm constantly updating about what a great time I'm having.
Now, just out of curiosity, who do you have your phone service
with? I have AT&T.
It seems to be that AT&T has better signal from different people I talk to. It seemed that AT&T signals, our phones seem to do better there.
Yeah, you always see what is about three blocks south of the hotels. There's this big building that has AT&T and all these antennas on top. Mm-hmm. Oh, gee, I wonder why.
That could be it. Yeah, my husband has Verizon, and he was quite often without his phone, and he would have to ask me, oh, can you please look on the DragonCon app and tell me what I want to go to next? So
yeah, by the way, the DragonCon app was pretty cool. And
that
one
was
thing,
really great.
One thing I liked about it, because I didn't have a lot of luck with service, one thing I really liked about it is that you really didn't need it. I mean, you needed needed service if you were going to get updates for the app. But if you just wanted to find out where a room was or time, as long as there wasn't like a cancellation or something that you weren't able to get the update for, you could still use the app very well to get around and find things and to find out when times were. And I thought that was a really good thing. I found the app very helpful.
Yeah, I really liked it too because, like you said, you didn't necessarily need to update. And when it would start to update, you could hit cancel and then it wouldn't eat up your battery desperately trying to update. So, yes, kudos to DragonCon for updating the app and making it really user-friendly this year. And while I am a little bit sad that I don't get to carry my binder with me, I was known – for carrying around my 3-ring binder with every day of what I wanted to do. it is nice to have to, or to not have to carry that around and just have my, my phone with me. So well done, DragonCon, for making a user-friendly app that works really, really well.
You've got a digital binder now.
Yes, exactly.
And I did notice the hotels and the food court also, they almost all had some outlets that were free.
Yeah.
So I did see people charging.
That probably would be one of my suggestions, though, is I've been to concerts and stuff where they have charging stations around the hotels they should do. And I've been to a couple of music festivals and they have like tents at the music festivals dedicated to a room full of just chargers, like plugs where you can plug everything in to charge your phones. DragonCon should do something similar or do like the hotel, the airports do and have like little stands or something.
Yeah, they could totally do that in one of those smaller conference rooms that they have off to the side or even, I wonder if you could go into the security room that's there in the Marriott and see if you could plug in there. I know that you can get into some of the smaller conference rooms over at the Hilton. And the Westin has plugs actually on the floor. We were plugged into the floor sitting there in line. So I wonder if you could go over to the Marriott to the security room and plug in there if they would shoo you out. I don't know,
but there's definitely ways that they could fix that.
Yeah. And I will say – go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, especially because we are becoming such a mobile society, mm-hmm. it's almost required that they have something like that.
I after San Diego, I invested in a Mophie pack for my phone, and it is invaluable. So it helps me a lot throughout the day. So that is a really awesome thing. So anybody who's interested in one of those things and wondering if it's worth the price, it is.
Yeah. There was only one panel. Each of the panel rooms that I was in had a plug on the stage behind it, for whenever they need stuff. So I was able to, I would basically every panel I'd go in, I'd plug my charger in. There was one panel room that didn't. And I just happened to be on a panel with Jessa and she had a backpack charger. And so I was able to plug my phone into like her backpack charger to keep it going until the next to the next show.
Well, exactly.
Because I was recording panels, so that, you know, that was eating up some battery power on the phones. And but yeah, so there were plenty. I mean, I really didn't. My phone never went completely dead, so, which is pretty amazing.
I do have one other thing that I wanted to bring up, and
sure.
not to poo-poo anybody's rules, regulations, or whatever. I was at the show as a fan, but also as press for the stuff that I do for CNN.com. And I had a press badge, and so I was in the panel taking some photos, and I got out of my seat and went over to the side, wasn't blocking anybody's view, wasn't creating a distraction, wasn't using my flash, wasn't doing anything, was just looking for a couple of different angles for my photos. And I was told I needed to go sit down. And I said, well, I just wanted to get a couple pictures. And she says, no, I'm going to need you to go sit down. And I've been going to the show for 10 years, and this was the first time that I had ever been told that I needed to go sit down when, like I said, I was off to the side, wasn't blocking anybody's view, wasn't creating a distraction, wasn't using a flash, wasn't doing any of the things that they tell you to not do. And even with a press pass, I was still told that I had to go sit down. So maybe a little bit more education on the part of the people that are there assisting with the moderation, that if you have a press badge, you're allowed to get up, take a couple photos, and then go back to your position.
Exactly. And that's just training and such. And probably someone was feeling the power.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it felt like. It was a little bit of, well, you know, I can make your life miserable. And I don't want to lose my privileges. I enjoy going to the show, and I don't want to make a bad name for myself, for CNN.com, or for ESO, or for anybody. So I, you know, said, sure, no problem. I'll go sit down. But that kind of left me a little bummed and left me with a bad taste in my mouth because, like I said, I've been going to the show for 10 years, and this was the first time I'd ever run across that where somebody wouldn't even let me snap a few pics. So,
it was just one person. You know, it didn't happen to me 20 times. It happened once. So, you know, not everybody is going to be as educated as they should be. Unfortunately, that's just a function of having that many people on staff.
And right. It's all a volunteer staff, too.
Yeah. That's
true.
Yeah, and I get that. That's why I said, you know, I'm not, you know, wanting to go against anybody's rules or regulations or anything. If they're told, hey, you can't let people stand up, then okay. But I mean, I wasn't aware that that was policy now. Right. So I don't know. But that was my only bad experience with interacting with anybody on the staff. Everybody else was really, really fantastic. And I wouldn't even consider it a bad experience, more of a surprise.
Right.
I was
right.
just kind of surprised by that. Like,
that's new.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was it. That was my only down note with any interaction. But everybody else was really great and really helpful. And like you said, very laid back, very kind. Just a good show.
Awesome. Awesome. Mary, any ideas for tips for next year or any improvement suggestions?
You know what? I actually don't have anything. It was a great show. Like, the only things that I could improve upon are things that I'll do in my own life to improve my own experience. And I just thought everything was handled really well. Nothing, like, really irked me. So, congrats, Dragon Con. It was awesome.
Awesome. That's awesome to hear. Bobby?
You know, I don't really have much in the way of suggestions. I mean, I liked a lot of the changes that were made this year. I think the movements of the Walk of Fame and some of the panel rooms, I think, really worked.
I think
I would say that in some cases it probably helped with congestion because more tracks now have moved to, say, the Westin So there was more traffic in the Westin, but there was less traffic in certain areas at certain times. I think every one of the moves they've made worked. I'm sure if we thought about it long and hard, we might find a nitpicky thing or two, but for the most part, I think they put on a fantastic show and they kept things running. And for the most part, I didn't have any problems with panels not starting on time or anything like that I was involved with. There was someone at every panel. There was always someone there in charge. There was only one time where I walked in and I was like, I'm the only one here. Wait. And that was just one of those isolated incidents, but, didn't last long. And yeah, it was just a wonderful time, great experience. And I've got to give the track directors a lot of credit. They really took care of us. They put us on some interesting panels. You do enough conventions, you start to, pretty much there's that certain number of standard panels, and kudos to them for coming up with some panels that I would have never have expected to have. I mean, I sit in on I don't know. I keep telling people this, and just because I can't believe there was a panel on this, but I sit in on a Sequest panel to a packed room.
And that's actually going to be going live next month, at the beginning of next month.
Oh, very cool. And so I love the fact that there were a lot of panels on a lot of topics that may not always get their own panel. Phantom and I and a couple of others sat in on – did the G.I. Joe Real American Hero. So we talked about the toys and the cartoon series and the comics, and it was standing room only. So there was just a lot of that. The fans were great. The people that came out to the panels were generally excited to be there. There was a lot of good back and forth discussions. So yeah, it was a wonderful time. And, I hope next year is just as good, if not better.
Awesome. Awesome. Mike, what about you?
Nothing really to complain about this year. I enjoyed pretty much everything. They need to tighten things up over at the America's Mart, like we said. I think it quenched a lot of people's fears and such. Oh, we'll have to walk so far, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't that far, folks. It really, really wasn't. Signage needs to get better, and it's the hotel itself that needs to do something about that T intersection in the Marriott.
Right.
That's the main hiccup and everything. Because either Dragon Con has to start thinking about capping the amount of people they have, or they just need to work something out. Because they're becoming a victim of their own success.
Well, but part of that T intersection problem too, is the fact that that intersection is not solely owned by like the Marriott. It's part of the Marriott. It's part of the Peachtree Center, and it's part of the Hyatt, because that's their habitat.
But it all comes together in the Marriott.
Right. Well, technically, it comes in together right at the entrance to the Marriott.
Yeah. Well, and so it's on Marriott.
But the hallway is technically not in the Marriott.
No, but where it all comes together is. But that's semantics.
Well, yeah,
it needs to be figured out, and that's the problem. Yeah. And because you're getting people frustrated, and I just don't go through there. I just walk outside, and that's the easiest way to get around it. And I save at least 10-15 minutes going place to place. And there is other ways to do it. And, my other big thing is people need to listen to the DragonCon report to hear all our hints and wisdom. And we will be back again in January.
Yes, we will.
With fresh new ideas.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the only thing that I can think of, the T intersection as well. And, I hope that my carrier does something so that I'm not walking around with a brick all weekend for next year. Because previous years have been fine. This is the only time I was very surprised. This is the only time that I just couldn't get service at all.
So. Mike, you know what you just need to do? You just need to put an antenna on your head.
That'll work. The only other tip that I have, and this is a personal thing, this is nothing to do with Dragon Con really, but make sure that those people who are, you know, interested in getting celebrity autographs and everything like that, make sure that, especially since now they're getting to the point where it's kind of expensive.
Mike? Of course. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yep.
I'm here.
Okay.
He's just so upset over the autographs being so expensive he can't go
That was it.
He got choked up.
He got so choked up.
Well, while we're waiting for him to come back, I did want to say I really enjoyed the America's Mart layout. Once I figured out where I was and where things were, it was nice to be able to look at things and to be able to walk over to a friend that I saw and say, hey, it's good to see you. Let's go look at these items together and not have to maintain the keep your arms in and just keep trying to shuffle forward because you can't move anywhere but forward.
And it was nice not to feel claustrophobic in there.
Exactly. Yes.
So there was, I know that was one of the things, like I said, I didn't get to really get to go in there much. I know one of the things they talked about was making it so there was more aisle space. So it was a lot easier to manage.
Oh, very much.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, the aisles are, it's almost like, do you remember that episode of Seinfeld where Kramer went and repainted the lines on the interstate and he made them huge?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not. Anyway, it was like that. It was very spacious. There was a lot of room. And I wasn't constantly running into somebody's backpack or their costume or, you know, apologizing because I'm elbowing somebody every time I try to look at something. So yeah, definite improvement as far as the space. But like Mike said, they need a little bit better signage because there were a couple times where I was like, have I been down this part before? Where am I? I don't know. But maybe it's just my poor sense of direction. I don't know.
I'm back.
Here you go. Hey, is Mike back?
I'm back. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes.
Oh, shoot. I was like, not again.
We thought you just got choked up because the last thing we heard you say was that autograph prices were expensive, and then it just kind of like you went away.
Okay. Okay, cool. Well, I will continue from that point then. Yeah, autograph prices are expensive. They're kind of pricey, so they're almost like an investment, whether it's a personal investment or otherwise. Just try to plan ahead. Don't assume that the people there are going to have photos that you're actually going to be like, oh, I love that photo. I don't have any real complaints over the photos that I got, but I wish I'd taken the time to get some photos and merchandise before then that I wanted to sign them to sign. So because some of the photos that were there were not as great as I would have liked.
Okay.
So
cool.
But so that would be my personal tip was to, you know, if you're going to get something signed, try to plan ahead. Don't assume that they're going to have like a really awesome photo that you love. Sometimes they won't, but that's the only complaint that I, or not a complaint really, it's the only tip that I have. So I don't have any regrets. Again, it was a very special Dragon Con for me, and I'm glad you guys all had a great time as well. So, and a great time in doing this show. So we're winding down now, so thank you guys so much for being part of this all year really. And coming in, especially tonight, to talk about, because I know we're all still recovering. Hopefully, this made it a little bit easier to reminisce about, you know, so we don't get that, what is it, post-con depression? Is that what?
Oh, dude,
yes, exactly.
I left there with that.
So we're all kind of meeting up to sort of help a support group, right?
Yeah.
So as far as tips go for next year, we will be doing the Dragon Con report starting in January for 2014's Dragon Con. But 2013 is not over for ESO as well. Not yet. We've got a few tracks that we've recorded, some panels that we've recorded that we will be releasing over the next few weeks, months, years.
Centuries.
We've got quite a library stacked up, so you'll see some Dragon Con panel releases here and there, probably throughout the next month or so, right, Mike?
Oh, very much so. Probably the next 2 months, you'll be seeing biweekly a different panel.
That's Mike's real complaint of the convention is we all came back with homework for him.
I know, but revenge will be mine. Don't worry.
Well, again, for those people who are going through, you know, post-Dragon Con depression, they can get a little piece of that convention, make them feel like they were at a panel by listening to some of those special releases that we're going to have.
And not only on the Dragon Con report specials, but I do know that the Phantom Troublemaker has been posting some Needless Things.
Yes.
Revolution SF, Ratchet Retrocast, each of them that were there were recording some panels as well. I know Van Plexico also with White Rocket. So in addition to us, there will be plenty of Dragon Con panels on the network.
Yeah, as we mentioned several times, almost the entire ESO network was there, and they've all of the shows on our network have released some kind of Dragon Con report and are still releasing Dragon Con reports. So be sure to check those out for interesting angles on their convention experiences as well. So it was a fantastic time. So, well, guys, thanks a lot. I just wanted to thank you guys also individually and find out what the next show you're going to be is. Is it going to be Dragon Con 14 or where? So we'll start with you, Nikki.
I will be attending Walker Stalker Convention here in Atlanta in November.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Real quick, what is that?
It is a lot of Walking Dead folks, a lot of folks from Dawn of the Dead, things like that, anything that's zombie related. And it's supposed to be a lot of fun. It's the first year that they're having it. And like I said, it's in November 1st through the 3rd. And I believe you can still get tickets, like $90 for the whole weekend. So, and a lot of big, big names from Walking Dead are going to be there.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your Keep Calm reports throughout the year. We really appreciate it. They came in very handy.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be a part of it.
Awesome. Awesome. And thank you, Mary, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
What is your next big show or your next show, period?
I will next be at GMX Geek Media Expo here in Nashville.
Oh, and when is that?
That is the first weekend in November.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, well, I guess we're all waiting to have that month period between shows.
Yeah, yeah. I need a little time to recover.
And thank you again for your help throughout all the year.
Oh, thank you. Of course. Of course. It's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. And Bobby, thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a lot of fun.
What's your next show?
Actually, this weekend I am going to be at the Atlanta South Con in Warner Robins. It's a one-day show. Looking forward to that. Actually, you and I are going to both be there. And yeah, so that should be fun.
Yeah, because the one-day show is about all we can handle. And then you've got and then your like next big event is the Literary Festival in November, correct?
Yes, the Georgia Literary Festival, which will be in Milledgeville November 9th. So I will be one of the guests there, along with Van Allen Plexico, who is also on the network.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you again, and thanks for your assistance throughout the year as well on these reports. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
And Mike, thank you, sir.
Ah, my pleasure.
What about you? When is your next? Do you have a show coming up that you're going to be part of?
I'm still showed out right now. I'm pretty much thinking my next show. I'm going to stay local for a little bit. Doing Atlanta Comic Con probably in December. Will be my next one. But then probably my next big one will be up in Chattanooga. We'll be doing Chattanooga.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun one.
So that'll probably be, I think, late February. So, you know, I'm going to hang low for a little bit. Got way too much stuff going on with the network. And, you know, can't really tell anyone yet about it. But we got some stuff going on that I have to really concentrate on.
Dun, dun, dun.
So.
Plus, I do know this particular weekend in Atlanta. I know, unfortunately, I'm not going to be there, but AWA is in Atlanta, which is a big one. I know Raven mentioned that earlier.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. So and kudos to her for doing another big show in Atlanta, because it always astounds me that AWA happens, you know, pretty much on the heels of Dragon Con, and yet still is as huge and as successful as it is.
Right. So. And we also do have something big coming up in November involving the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, but I'm not allowed to say anything yet.
Except
you tease.
That. Yes. Well, definitely listen to ESO and ESW to find out more information about that. And check with our website as well.
Exactly.
So, well, thank you all. And again, thanks to Raven for joining us, because it's always cool to have that perspective as well. And this is the last Dragon Con report for ESO for the year. So thanks everybody out there for listening. We hope that you found these helpful. If you have any ideas or suggestions about how we can improve this for next year, please send them along, because we do love the feedback. And, as it goes, we will see you at Dragon Con 2014. So it's it'll be here before we know it, gang. It really will. So rest up, and I guess for those cosplayers out there, start thinking about your costumes now. And then on that note, we will bid you adieu. As always, it's been my pleasure, and we'll see you at Dragon Con next year, 2014.
I'll have a bucket of rum waiting for you.
Yo ho ho!
I said, hey little girl, what do you do? I've been waiting all week for something like you. Cause it's Friday night and everybody's in the streets. I say, come on, come on, come on with me. It's a party weekend. Gonna be some rock and roll. Everybody's gonna get you. It's a party. Thursday's the worst day, Friday's great, cause I can hardly wait until the weekend. I should be clocking in at 8, but I'm a little late. Can't pay my baby cause I'm thrown a date. 3 till 10 and then it's Friday again. Here come the weekend. Here come the weekend. Here come the weekend. The working week's so tough, I think I've had enough until the weekend.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.